Welcome to MMAMadhouse.com Live, episode 123. 123. Shout out to our sponsors at Brawlbase. Get Clenched. That's Clenched Custom Mouthguards. Intimidation Clothing. Tank Crimes. Never Tap. No Pain, Just Glory. Central Oregon Trike. Combat Sports Insurance. Vision Smoke Shop. 24NLV. Draco Sports. Pro-Am Belts. Triumph Fitness. Big T's Nightclub. Cross-Roader Clothing. Ink Tech Tattoo. Game Changer Clothing and Hype Fight Store. Holy smokes, I'm running slow tonight. This is bad, bad news, boys. Bad news. Bad. Durka Durka.
What's up, Carl? Welcome back. We missed you. I'm so happy you're here. Let's get my partner and start this shit off.
I was here last week. Oh, yeah, I missed your last night's special episode. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I suck. You're right, I'm wrong. You're smart, I'm stupid. Okay, let's get your partner.
Yeah.
Check out this selection right here. Where you from? Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother, because she's perked your monkey ass.
Oh, Canada. Oh, sorry. Shouldn't you be singing the Molson Ice commercial, or maybe Kokanee? Maybe you should be singing a Kokanee commercial.
Kokanee. That's pretty good beer.
I figured you'd like that one. I wanted to mix it up for you this week, Carl, since you made 2 weeks in a row you made it on the Wednesday night show. I figured that I would only mention that other beer that I normally mention one time, and that I would transition into Kokanee, and maybe that would keep you around.
Kokanee.
Now, that's southern British Columbia, though, right? What beers are from up where you're at?
Kokanee, actually. It's only a couple hours away from me.
Oh.
Which is relatively, when you live in the tundra that I live in, you know, a couple hours is almost next door.
You're like, oh, that's it. You're like, you're jumping at the opportunity to drive a couple hours somewhere.
Pretty much, yeah. And you got to drive an hour and a half just to go take your kid to the theater to watch a movie, you know. A couple hours isn't that bad.
You don't have a movie theater in your town?
No, man, my town's like 800 people. You have like a restaurant.
I've mapped west your town, and I've Google searched it and all that stuff with the satellite cam. It looks like a decent town.
Oh, it's a beautiful little town. little.
He's like, oh, your town looks decent according to Google Maps.
Hey,
Carl, you know that what he's really doing is he's trying to scout out your town so he can send somebody in to steal your couch cushion.
Actually, no, I'm thinking about moving up there.
You ain't getting into Canada, bro.
I
want to see you get into
Canada. Under a different name.
Good luck getting that passport. You might as well just hike. You might as well just start hiking from Terrebonne and just don't stop till you hit fucking the tundra, bro.
Dude, I've already got my passport. It's Tyrone, last name Shoelaces. Nope, the Canadians will fall for that one.
Just say you're GSP. Just be like, I'm GSP, bitches. I'm here to take you down.
I'm here to dry up you for 25 minutes. Watching it fight like watching two kids at a high school prom just going at it in the corner.
How'd you like Jordan Meehan fight?
Dude, it was great. One of the few highlights of the whole night.
That escape from that arm bar was beautiful. Any woman that's fighting Ronda Rousey should go to CMC in Lethbridge and train with those guys for a while. That was beautiful. That was textbook.
Textbook. Mm-hmm. 100% agree. It was some of the cleanest armbar defense I've ever seen. It was put to the test perfectly, and he got out of it, dominated it, and finished it. It was beautiful.
That was the only fight I watched from the pay-per-view.
That's funny. Hey, and you know, for everybody out there tonight, we got a great lineup, man. We're gonna have Matt Riddle. We're gonna also have Nathan Swayze, and then Luke from Intimidation Clothing will be joining us as well, because them guys are everywhere supporting local MMA. We're gonna find out how many events these guys are gonna be at and supporting over the next few weeks. So everybody knows we'll have them on in a little bit. So,
oh, really? Are we having them all at one time?
No, we're going to have one at a time, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think one night we should book like 12 people all at the same time. And let's just see what happens.
We did that on a rogue show, and everybody argued over the commission, and nobody got to talk until I got mad.
Hey, dude. Hey. Skippy's a little, he gets trigger happy with the mute button, Carl.
I can't believe I muted the guest last night. I was like, what the fudge?
Yeah, that was awesome. Then
you
hung up on me.
Who did you mute, Skippy?
I muted Justin Larson.
Yeah.
I was too busy today.
He was trying to mute me.
I didn't get a chance to listen to the replay yet.
Yeah. That was a good show last night, man. I had fun talking to Lyle Beerbaum and Justin Larson. It was a real good time. You know, it's going to be a good fight. But, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of great fights this weekend. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous.
There's a lot of great fights, too, but there's also a lot of great basketball that starts tomorrow.
That is
a lot.
Carl, basketball
is a sport. Does Canada get into March Madness? Or do you guys just laugh at Americans that are like, 4 days of college basketball?
I hate basketball. Sorry. I hated playing basketball. I hate everything about basketball. I'm sorry. That's how I roll.
You're 6'8". How can you hate basketball? That's a crime.
6'8". Yeah. I'm 6 foot. You got that wrong somewhere.
Carl, did you play hockey?
Well, yeah, I can play hockey, yeah. I'm not the... I didn't start skating or playing hockey till I was like in my early 20s. But yeah, no, I can play hockey. I can hold my own.
Nice.
Haven't done it for a couple
so
years,
long
though, mind because you think I grew up in the tundra now. When I was a kid, I really grew up in the tundra. It was just impossible for me to get into playing hockey as a kid. Just couldn't happen.
So would you say that in comparison to your youth, that right now you live in the big city?
Yeah, man. I grew up in the middle of a wheat field in Alberta.
Really? Whereabouts?
Yep. Near Drumheller, Alberta. Dinosaur Valley.
You know, there was in Walla Walla, Washington, one of the greatest sporting goods stores I've ever been to is named Drumheller's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, I mean, that's anywhere in North America, man. Wherever I've been to a sporting goods store, Drumheller's is still right up there. It had some of the best taxidermy work I'd ever seen my whole life.
I don't think they're up here. I've never seen one.
No, it's just like it's a family-owned joint just in Walla Walla. It's the only place I've ever seen one. It's not a chain or anything. Just like it covers like all of Southeast Washington.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So what do you do anyway when you live in the middle of a wheat field? Let's just get to know Carl Mortensen here for a minute. What do you think, Skippy?
I'm down.
What do you do in the middle of a wheat field? Ride a hell of a lot of motorcycles in the summertime, and in the wintertime just try to stay warm and maybe ride a snowmobile once in a while.
How far did you have to go to school?
I don't know what it was as far as miles concerned. It was, probably an hour and 15 minutes on the bus or something one way.
Oh, that's shit.
Yeah.
I'd have been done with school in, like, the third grade.
school was 5 blocks from my house, and I quit in the seventh grade because I was too far.
When the bus comes, you know, the parents just kick you on it and...
So what are you, okay, Carl, you're 17, you're young, you're a stud, you're single. How the hell do you, first of all, find a girl, let alone, like, take her out? Would you, like, take her out in the middle of the field for a date? Where do you take a girl like that?
Oh, God. By the time I was 17, we had actually moved into Drumheller. My folks had retired from farming, and we actually lived in town then at that time, so you know, it wasn't that bad. But good question. I don't know.
Carl
everybody's
is just railing broad left and right.
Everybody's
right?
Everybody's got, everybody there has got, you know, their redneck pickup trucks with the roll bars and the, you know, all the rest of that.
I thought you said you drove a Model T.
Model T, yeah. Almost.
Jeez, Skippy.
What the hell was it? What the hell was
it? Hey, Carl's like 2 years older than
me. A Rambler. We had a Rambler.
Oh, wow.
That's old school. That's old school. Now,
the Rambler.
When was the last time you went back to where you grew up?
I went back there, well, actually not long ago for a funeral, but that was just there and back. I went back there and stayed for a few days. Was it 2 or 3 years ago for 20th graduation anniversary party I went to? I went to go see all those folks that I never cared for in school.
That's great. So, is MMA taking off and back in your home Providence area, whatever they call it up there, county?
Province. MMA is huge in Alberta. Yeah, it's, you know, it's massive in Alberta. Not so much in Drumheller, I guess, but, you know, it's only an hour away from Calgary. It's only an hour away from Red Deer, a few hours away from Edmonton and Lethbridge. So, you know, I imagine it is. I don't know. I really don't know what's going on in Drumheller, but I don't really care either.
Dude, this is awesome.
There's nothing there but a bunch of dead dinosaurs.
Okay.
Dude, so have you seen the carcass of a woolly mammoth?
Oh, yeah, I think they've got one there. Or as far as museums and crap go, they've got one of the best in the world, actually, dinosaur museums there. The Tyrell Museum, and just about everything's in there. It's amazing. It's actually really cool.
See, this is the kind of shit you don't get to know unless you're talking to somebody that lived there. I want to check out this museum of dinosaurs. That sounds awesome. Especially if it's like that Ben Stiller movie. And they come to life at night.
Hey, Carl, how far are you from, like, Winnipeg?
Oh, Jesus, man.
That's like 12 hours, dude, 14 hours.
Is it?
No, that would be a lot more than that. That'd be a lot more than that, man. For me to drive to Winnipeg would probably be odd 20 hours, maybe.
Holy mackerel.
Is
that wintertime or summertime? That's an important question. Is it 20 hours in the snow or 20 hours in the just cold?
I speak summer talk. Wintertime, God knows, it could be 20 hours or it could be 4 days.
Well, Carl, you better start driving if you plan on making AFC 17.
Yeah. 16 and 17 both taking place on the same night, one in Edmonton, one in Winnipeg. That's pretty crazy.
Dude, not only that, you got the light heavyweight championship up, you know, with Al Haseen versus Tim Chamele, and then Ryan Ford's on the main. That's a pretty stacked card. And then you jump to 16, and they get the bantamweight champion, which is Curtis Brigham and Mike Adams. You know, they got, which originally that's the card our first guest, Nathan, would have been on. And that card's pretty stacked from top to bottom.
Yeah. It's one of the rare times there's an Edmonton event, and we're not going to have a team at it this weekend.
How is that happening?
Our team is prior commitments. Jason Gemmer is a boxing coach, and he's got guys fighting at a Muay Thai event that same night, and, you know, he's got to go help his guys, and I don't blame him one bit.
Dude, tell him at the end of the night to go over to the judges' table and ask him for the score sheet, and then have him just send you a photocopy of it. You forward it to me, and we can post the results for everybody from a great Thai event in Canada.
No, we're going to do that for sure. Yeah, he's going to be sending me results from that event, but we don't have anybody at AFC, unfortunately.
It'll be
a GFL night for me, I think.
Go Fight Live TV.
GFL TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Carl was very bummed last weekend that we missed it.
GFL.
We missed what?
That we missed GFL. I had previous engagements, and nobody, and you know, and I'll be honest, I know Carl had mentioned to me earlier in the week, but I totally forgot, and nobody had gotten back to me. So I was like, dude, guys will pass this weekend, you know. So we didn't grab any passes. But for everybody out there right now listening, if you want, as soon as you're done listening to the show, go over there to GFL.TV right now and Ring of Combat. I think it's 21 or 28 or some weird number, XLI or something like that. It's rebroadcast for free for all the fans if they want to watch it. You can also find a link for this show right there.
Dude, I also had an excuse Saturday night to not be able to watch the GFO. Some of these people, man, some of these clowns need to start watching some events, man, because I can't do 45 events every weekend.
Don't forget this weekend, though, is Combat at the Capitol, the kickboxing tournament, and I'm super pumped for that one.
Combat at the Capitol is streaming on Ustream.
Is it?
Combat at the Capitol in New York?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right on. Yeah, that's a pretty solid event.
And don't forget, Pandemonium's free this weekend, folks. You guys can go to rearnakedsmoke.com. Pandemonium will be streaming their whole MMA boxing event for free. It's going to be at the L.A. County Fairgrounds.
If you go to Ustream on Saturday, you can watch Tough Enough Future Stars of MMA. The full amateur card will be streaming on Ustream for freezy.
Sweet. You know they always do great stuff. Though, speaking of great stuff, Carl, our buddy Freddie, getting ready to start throwing some dead serious events. I see that he has already booked 6, 7, 8, and 9. So, fans, get ready this summer. Dead Serious is back big time. These guys throw some great events. They own their own clothing company. Huh?
I was just going to say, Frank is supposed to be heading to their next event for us.
Yeah, I'm super. And we had
Frank Trigg?
No, we had the president of on there, and really cool guy. They own their own cage rental company. They own their own fight clothing company, their own fight promotion, and their own DJ service. And they show up and do other events, you know, because people rent them. But when they do their events, they pull out all the stops, man. I mean, they got it covered. They're killing it over there on the East Coast.
Yeah, we should get him back on the air. He was a great interview, that guy.
What's
his name again now? Frankie Perez Jr.
Yep, and he fights.
He's a fighter.
Yep, he fights for Ring of Combat, which I believe he's fighting on this weekend's card.
And he's what is he, 24 years old or some bloody thing?
Yeah, this kid's a beast, man. I mean, he's
unbelievable.
He's killing it.
Hmm. Yeah, he would definitely be worth getting back on. We should do that. When the hell is that next Dead Serious event?
It is coming up in like 2 weeks. March 30th.
Might not be able to pull that off.
No, I think we're pretty full next week.
We're pretty full, yeah. We're doing a 1-hour special next week too. Intimidation Clothing 1-hour special next Tuesday night.
Yes, sir. That's going to be player. It's going to be a fun show.
Player. Yep. Is that really what you were just trying to say, Skippy? Were you really trying to throw out a player?
Give me some baby powder. I'm about to smack a bitch. So,
I like potatoes, too.
Dude, I know we talked about it last night, but we didn't go over the whole card. But what do you think about Access TV, man? Friday night, dude. RFA 7, Thatch Rhodes going down.
I have two things I have to say. If you are friends with Mike Rhodes, don't watch this fight.
don't forget Shannon Culpepper. Shannon Culpepper's going to be throwing down on this card. against Gina Begley and Shanna Culpepper, undefeated beast. She's doing this fight at 130. It'll be a catch weight, so that's a fight people should pay attention to. It's an amateur bout. I'm not sure if the underbouts are going to be televised or not.
Yeah, Begley's a girl. I think she trains in Northern Kentucky with Jessamine. I'm pretty sure.
Should be a really good fight.
But in all honesty, the Mike Rose and Brandon Thatch fight will be good. I mean, Mike trains out of Rufus Sport. He's got a good record. You know, I mean, but he's going to have a full plate with Brandon Ruckus Thatch. This kid, I honest to God think he's the best 170er on planet Earth outside of the UFC.
That's a fair statement. I mean, the kid has been a beast. He has been completely dominant. I don't believe his whole professional fight career amounts to more than 6 minutes. And he's, what, 8 or 9 and 1?
Yeah.
I mean, this kid does work like nobody's business. He gets in there and he finishes. And it doesn't matter if it's TKO from punches, from knees, from a KO from punches, head kicks, submissions. He can finish you anywhere, standing or sitting. He can finish the game, and he can do it quickly.
Who were you guys talking about? Sorry, I missed it there.
Brandon Thatch.
Brandon Thatch. Oh, okay. Thanks. I missed who you were talking about there, and it sucked.
Girl, this kid, he took out Mike Arnett with a head kick in like 18 seconds. Just blasted him. Good night. You know, how many times has he got KO finishes?
Well, dude, he's making that sound. Patrick Valley, 15-second KO to punches. Jory Erickson, 18-second KO knee. Martin Grandmont, this guy made it 1:55 before he tapped out to a choke.
Michael Krishman, TKO to knees at 38 seconds.
Yeah.
TKO to Chris Hollins, punches, a KO at 19 seconds. I mean, Childress Nokaju, 53 seconds, TKO to punches. I mean, dude, this guy beats you down. You gotta love a guy like that.
Yeah, dude. I mean, and his dad was a pro kickboxer, and that had a gym where Dwayne Bang Ludwig first, like, originally started training at, and he trained Brandon when Brandon was like a kid growing up.
And everybody out there knows that Dwayne is at Alpha Male as their striking coach now. And
I think he's the head coach, not just the striking coach. I think he's the head coach.
Oh, okay. Either way, I mean, great guy to learn from. Let's be honest. He's a beast, too. Definitely one of the most technically sound striking in the game when he was running.
Oh, dude, he's a monster. I think he was a guy that was also kind of underappreciated when he fought.
We see that a lot.
Dude, why is your camera, why do you keep putting these still photos? I was like, Skippy must be heavily sedated tonight because your head's like kind of slumped forward in this still screen on my camera here.
I don't get it.
Are you trying to like run some kind of scam on us? Like you're really not even in the studio? You just have this fake picture up?
You should start doing that shit like my old PO used to do. Take a picture with your finger touching your left eye.
Yeah. Which finger?
Yeah, that would have got me in trouble. That's when they would have been like, can you do a voice analysis? And I'd be like, no. And they'd be like, oh, you're drunk. Send the cops to your house. That's not cool.
Not cool?
Would it be cooler to get busted for being drunk in a bar on probation, something so simply stupid that you could have kept from happening by drinking at your house, or get busted for stealing couch cushions? The body's looking at me like, wow, that's a hard one. Oh, yeah, it's speaking of. I can't seem to figure out why Carl's camera's not on.
Huh?
Why isn't your camera on, Carl?
I don't know. Why not? Let's see here.
Well, I'm going to turn it on then. That way you can see LeBlanc looking at me like a jackass.
Speaking of anybody listening on their Blackberries, and download the MMA Madhouse Blackberry app. Kick ass.
I love it, Carl. I use the shit out of it, man. Especially because you can download the show right from it, and then boom, it's on your Blackberry. You can play it whenever you want, fast forward, pause it. Not only that, you get MMA topics, folks. Come on, man. You not only get our website, MMA Topics website, all the radio shows from the Madhouse Production Network, and you also get the Facebook wall. So all in one app, super easy to use.
Really?
Yep.
God, come into the 22nd century, bros, and let's get off BlackBerry, man. They're dead in America.
No, they're not. You're such a sad, sad Apple man.
Hey, okay, so hey, breaking news. Can I get a breaking news sound? Do we got something?
Yeah, actually. Hold on. Let's see if we can do this.
I don't have any.
Breaking news. Come on,
breaking. Da-na-na. How's that?
I'm watching Skippy try to work his magic right now.
We're working on an Android app and an iPhone app, just so you know, LaFoggy.
Yeah! Don't do an Android one.
But they're... Oh, yeah, no, we need Android.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so during till 8:30 p.m., so from 6:57 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. tonight, 2-for-1 Clinch Custom Mouth Guard Special, only during the show. Go to getclinch.com, type in the password, Wednesday night special, to get 2-for-1 until 8:30. Wednesday night special gets you 2-for-1 on getclinch.com right now. Booyah. Enjoy.
Booyah. Get your guards clinched up. Hey, and by the way, I understand that, you know, people out there want that Android app or that iPhone app. It's coming for everybody in the world except for Jeff Hody. That's it. He doesn't get one. We're going to ban him because he doesn't like BlackBerry.
Hey. Jeff Hody doesn't like BlackBerry either?
Nope.
See, great minds think alike, bro.
So you've been punch drunk too your whole life.
Dude, I had a BlackBerry for like 3 years, and let me just tell you, dude, I hated every minute of it. Like, I got hoodwinked into getting a BlackBerry phone. People are like, oh, it's so awesome. The server's so great. The processor is amazing. And then
obviously
I
you
did
haven't
it,
got
and
the
I,
new BlackBerry.
I hated it. I hated the iOS. The operating system was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, dude, you try to search the internet and it takes 45 days for that shit to come through.
Not anymore.
It's like got a half of a, it has a half a processor inside it.
Not anymore, man. These new ones, like these new tablets and the Z10, ridiculously badass. And I'm telling you what, obviously everybody out there will have apps for all platforms here shortly because we're working on that, but if they run as smoothly as they do on this BlackBerry, the fans are going to love it because, I mean, everything's right there. Eat, one button, share, Facebook, Twitter. It works well, man. And obviously, you've got opponents to every platform out there and pros and cons. And
Hey. Okay, so, hey, hold on. We're having a really choppy moment right here in the show.
Oh. Let me adjust.
You choppy, Skippy. You choppy.
Kind of like at a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, choppy.
Only you are choppy, Skippy. I think it has something to do with your 2012 Sunlight Supply Indoor Garden Fest is causing your phone to chop.
I don't know.
That was a great event that you could find one of our sponsors, Vision Smoke Shop, at. I guarantee it. That they were a participant in the 2012 Starlight Sunday Indoor Grow Fest.
Boom.
They were down there for the big glass show. Super successful for them. It was really cool to have them come back to town, man, and hang out with them. Dude, wow. So they got some cool glass. How choppy am I? Is it fixed, Carl? Okay, cool.
You're good now.
Well, here in a few minutes, actually, we'll get to actually talk with a real person named Swayze. So,
dude, I'm real. Carl's real. Are you not real?
I'm not real. I'm not real.
Carl don't exist.
Oh. Carl, are you a hologram or a computer?
He's the wizard.
The Canadians.
Of Oz.
No, Canadians aren't.
Oh.
Canadians aren't real. It's like on South Park. You know? Like South Park. You know, it's so true. South Park Canadians. I nailed it on that.
So, Carl, what's the next event you're going to?
His daughter's quinceañera.
probably Battle for the Border 2. Hasn't been officially announced yet, but I think that'll be the next one for me. And then BFL, what the hell is it going to be, 22 or 23 or something in Penticton in June 8th, I think. Those will be my next two events, unless something pops up around here that I don't know about. But I don't know about.
How's your daughter's BJJ going?
She's been out for a while since the new one came along and stuff. It just didn't work out. We had to take her out for a while here. So,
hey, we got to give a birthday shout out to Tiffany Van Soest.
Yes. Happy birthday, champion. Badass champion.
So how far was the drive to a BJJ gym up in the tundra, Carl?
Hour 10, hour 15.
You're a true fan of the sport and a great father, Carl.
Yeah,
I don't
even
feed my kids, let alone drive them anywhere. Man, aren't you a winner. God, I need to be more like you. I just call my kids
no.
Children 1, 2, and 3.
When he calls them, Carl.
when he talks to them.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
you should hear it. Like, I'll be on the phone with him, and then all of a sudden, Skippy will be like, "What do you want? Get out of here! Shut the door! I'm in the studio right now. Don't you know I'm working? But Dad, we just want to eat. Put it in the refrigerator. Put it in the refrigerator. Get in there. Put it in the microwave."
Look,
who's in the cooler in the back of the pickup?
This is the dedication to MMA I have, that I lie to my children and tell them I'm working 85 hours a week in the studio.
How do you explain the 12 hours a week you work at the Clock Tower Pub in the grow shop?
I work a little bit more than 12 hours there.
I don't know, dude. I talk to you and you're at the Clock Tower Pub. You're working away. You know, you're in there. You're waiting for somebody to ask you for some fucking Russian dressing. You know, you're schmoozing with the 5-0. You know, you're kind of like one of them. You're hanging out with your buddies. You know, do you make them donuts and stuff?
No, but I will tell you what. He says my sliders are the best he's ever had, and that's what he eats, either sliders or house salad with egg and shrimp. But the sliders, dude, I do them up dope, man. After I char them up, I finish them in a steam, and, like, they're just gooey, juicy, covered with cheese. He loves that shit.
Nice. And what else? Do you put a Thousand Island on them? Do you put a little mustard,
yes,
a little mayonnaise? Which route do you go?
Thousand Island.
The only way to do it. Now, do you use a fresh onion maybe, a fresh yellow or fresh purple, maybe a Bermuda?
Actually,
for those of you that are in the know?
We just do a dill chip on it, and that's it. And it's on a mini bun, like a little like soft potato style bun.
I challenge you, Skippy, that in the next week, that you need to go into work one day and make a fresh batch of beignets for when the cops come in, and then take them out and see if they actually get the joke. You know, see what happens to your relationship with the Redmond Police Department when you take them a bowl full of powdered donuts.
Yeah, Dude, no, yeah, we're not going to do that because then my freedom to run around this town is over. That's why I feed them so well. But we'll get off me and my local police problem.
If my baby's mama is listening to the show right now, that I have issued the challenge to anybody at the Clock Tower Pub to get Skippy to make the police bayays, fresh bayays, by next Wednesday.
Oh, don't be calling everybody off the bar. You know they listen to this show. All those people can start giving me shit all week. But,
I know.
Look,
and ask for some goddamn Russian dressing, you motherfuckers.
Hey, well, let's quit talking about me. Let's talk about MMA, and let's bring our first guest of the night in. Nathan Swayze, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, welcome to Madhouse Live. You're on with Lepaki and Skippy. You know, we were hoping to go one direction, but I guess we're going to have to talk another direction. For everybody out there might not know, you've had to back out of the fight due to an injury.
Yeah. Unfortunately, caught a rib in sparring, separated it, and, unable to compete, which is first time it's ever happened to me, man. It's shit.
How frustrating is it?
Super frustrating. You know, it was a big fight for me, so I thought I'd do a 12-week camp, and of course I made it through over 10 of them, and you know, you work as hard as you can because it's always the next biggest fight, right? And so you always push a little harder, and unfortunately that's what bit me in the ass in the end. But yeah, no, it sucks. There's no doubt about it.
Well, with this, you know, obviously, you know, you had a great test in front of you, and a win would really cement what you're doing. And with that, are you going to still try to hopefully reschedule this fight down the road, or are you just worried about another opponent as soon as you're healthy?
Well, you know what? I know they're doing an AFC card in Victoria sometime around May. If I have an opportunity to fight Nick Penner again, man, that'd be awesome. Obviously, I have nothing against Nick at all. I think he's a great fighter, but just like you say, he'd be a big feather in the hat if I could manage to beat him. So, yeah, by all means, I'd love to fight him. But at the same time, it's hard for the guy on the other end of the spectrum too. The guy who went through his camp and then his opponent get injured. You know, he's got other fish to fry in his life, I'm sure. So, you know, like I say, if he wants to give me another opportunity to compete against him, that would be awesome. But if not, I'll take on whoever they can put in front of me.
Up to the point of your injury, how did you feel this camp had been going?
Awesome. I mean, I took off a bunch of time between this fight and my last fight. It's been almost a year. I switched camps. I joined up with Zuma, which is where Sarah Coffin trains, and Mike Hacker and Ryan Jaynes up here. And so new camp and really great coaching. Adam Zujek, who owns Zuma, he's partnered up with Greg Jackson, and he's always in Albuquerque. And so some really high-end training and some next-level stuff. So I felt great, man. It was I felt like I was learning a lot, and I thought I was going to be able to put my best foot forward for sure. So I'm so excited to use that when I get that opportunity again.
So switching your camps, getting ready to get back in here, and not having an injury, now you got to take a little bit of time and step back. I know you said it was frustrating, but can you see any silver lining in this?
Well, I mean, the silver lining is that you get to train at that level. I mean, I made it so close to the fight that I basically had a whole camp. I just didn't get the payoff or the paycheck. So the silver lining is that I improved as much as you normally would through a camp, and that's awesome. I mean, you know, I was getting ready for Nick Penner, and like you say, if I don't get an opportunity to fight him, you know, it's going to make me a better light heavyweight no matter who I compete with. So it's always good. It's, you know, we fight because we love to train, and so that's the silver lining. But unfortunately, like I say, without the payoff and the paycheck, it gets hard to commit the time. So now it's scrambling and trying to sort out the rest of your life that you've put to the side during the camp. And then, of course, as soon as these ribs heal, I'm going to get back in there as soon as possible. And I don't plan to be any later than May competing, that's for sure.
Now,
hey,
hold on.
Breaking news again, Skippy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Nathan, Clinch Custom Mouth Guard said if you need a warm-up, that he'll step in and he'll be your warm-up.
Well, I don't know. Can you hurt a guy who's wearing a Clinch Custom Mouth Guard? That might be a losing proposition for me. If he's got that thing in, I'm not likely to be able to hurt him.
I think we can find a way to fix that and make it in your favor.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll
right
switch
on.
Out his Clinch
right
for, like, a Walmart special at the last minute.
Yeah, there you go. We'll do the old bait and switch on the mouth guard. That's perfect. Yeah, that's awesome that Clinch is on. Those guys are great, man. They've been helping me out for a long time now. I really appreciate them.
Now, I got to ask you, if you have a dog, has he tried to eat your mouth guard?
You know what? I have a dog, and my dog has never eaten my mouth guard. I don't know why. She doesn't eat my stuff. She's a boxer. She's a smart girl, and she doesn't take any of my stuff away from me. Now, her last name is Silva, so it might be that she's a fighter and she can appreciate fine quality training gear like that.
Yeah, Joseph, you got a boxer named Silva, so I mean, she has to grasp the value of a good mouth guard.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Now,
if Jeff is smart, he will cut that audio out right there and make a commercial, because, I mean, that right there was like, I would have bought a car off you after that statement.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy to talk nice about high-quality stuff.
So, since you have some, you know, time while you heal, what's your plans? Are you going to try to spend a little bit more time at home, you know, or are you going to, you know, work a lot more? What's your plan?
Yeah, you know what, I own my own business, so I'll focus on that and getting work on as much as possible. I'll be around my local gyms here and helping out with any coaching I can give, or, you know, holding pads for people. Obviously, you want to hang around a gym. It's just it's a lifestyle, so I will take the time and spend more time with my family, of course, but that's always a priority for me, and, you know, focus on work, because the more money I have, the more time I have to train, obviously. But essentially, I want to be back in the gym as soon as possible.
So, how far is the new gym from where you're living now?
Well, the gyms around here are just, you know, a few minutes away. We have local gyms, but the gym I'm training out of Zuma there is about 2.5-3 hours away each way.
Man, I give it to you Canadians. You guys are dedicated. I see Carl laughing his ass off right now, because we were just giving him shit about how far you got to drive for anything. Wow, that's dedication, bro.
Yeah, it's well, I try to spend the night and maximize and basically train every minute I can while I'm down there. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. We're not in a major center here, and we've been lucky. We got a bunch of pro fighters that come out of my little town that I live in, which is only about, you know, 50, 60,000 people. And there's 4 pro fighters out of here who are all, you know, have had some success. So that's awesome. But again, you want to take it to that next level and compete with guys like Nick Penner. You got to find the best training that's available and take it to that level, obviously. So that's what you got to do.
Nathan, so, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, you're working on a 12-month camp. Now, you get through, like, 10.5, 11 weeks of it, and you're, like, starting to peak. Now, do you want to find a fight as soon as possible? Because you're, like, mentally, like, you've got to be, like, chomping at the bit.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, I'm itching to fight. I mean, I'm 2 days out right now, or 3 days out from fight night. This week's been depressing as hell, to tell you the truth. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the fitness is probably still decent, obviously. I mean, as soon as these ribs are good to go, I'm good to go, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, as a fighter, that's got to be, like, the most frustrating, like, thing to have. Like, you would much rather have something like that happen early in the camp where you're not, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, to reduce the expectations. I mean, the time invested, like you say, is, That sucks for sure, and definitely time for all of us, right? We all have to have lives we lead and our family and our business and all that stuff. You hate to sacrifice for no payoff, but more than anything else, you just really want the chance to compete. I mean, that's why I fight. I don't fight for the money. I fight because I love to fight. So to not get that payoff is it's a kick in the teeth, man. And you get the whole process of going and cutting and making weight and fight day and the whole thing, you know, it's a bit of a high, and to not get that is, it sucks.
But now you got to eat a lot sooner than you thought. So that's got to be, like, you know, I mean, while it's a little depressing, you can still kind of fix that depression with some good food.
Well, see, you would think, but Penner and I were meeting at heavyweight, so he didn't care what I weighed and vice versa. So we kind of had an idea what each other was walking around at, and we were comfortable around those numbers. And for whatever reason, I think he had a vacation to Mexico sometime before the camp and put on a few pounds and just didn't want to cut, or whatever his reasons were, we were fighting a heavyweight, so I was eating pretty terribly the entire camp, which was kind of nice, but I couldn't find any comfort when it was over, unfortunately.
So it must have been great benefit to you to have Mike up there at Zuma.
Yeah, no, I mean, Mike's obviously a super talented heavyweight, and he's a huge asset. I've basically done my entire career with Mike at my side, and they got another guy down there by the name of Ryan James, who was my main sparring partner, who is a middleweight, and I have no idea on earth how the guy makes middleweight. He's huge, and he's an absolute beast, and you know, I think he's 5-1 now, and his only loss was to Mike. In his first fight ever. So, yeah, he's an absolute beast, and he's going to run through the next few people he fights for sure. And of course, we have another local guy up, two local guys up here by the name of Fraser Jordan, who's just making his pro debut coming up in June, who's a phenomenal wrestler, and a guy by the name of Bill Fraser who's running around 10 pro fights. So we got a decent little camp for our small town, like I say. But yeah, it's definitely nice to have the best sparring partners you can. Unfortunately, sparring is where the injury came from, too.
That's the tough part, man, because you got to put in that work, but at the same time, accidents happen.
Well, that's it, and you know what? You gotta go hard, because when you get in that cage, you got to be prepared for everything, especially when you're fighting somebody as talented as Nick or really any of the pro fighters that we're facing at this time. Everybody's good. Everybody can put a hurt on you. If you're not ready for it, you know, you're gonna lose. And so, you know, it's the name of the game, and I can appreciate that. You know, it's a good lesson, and it makes me keep an eye on overtraining a little better, and yeah, you know. So I think overall it'll end up being a positive experience, and I guarantee when I get into the cage the next time, I'm gonna be hell bent on leather on throwing some bombs, because I'm dying to get in there.
So
it's kind of like your next fight is gonna be a 2-for-1, 2 training camps for 1 fight equals double the pleasure for you and double the punishment for your opponent.
Yeah, well, that's the plan now for sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds like it might be, like I say, in Victoria, the AFC that I might compete on. And if that's the case, that's another hometown fight. And yeah, I'd love the opportunity to put on just a really great show and really get a chance to showcase what I'm capable of. And if that means laying a beating on my opponent, then all the better.
You have a few more fights with the AFC, correct?
Pardon me?
You have a few more fights with them, correct?
You know what? My contract is expired. I'm a free agent right now, but the promoters at AFC, Darren and Jason, particularly here in British Columbia, they're friends of mine, and you know, I have no need to go anywhere. They've always treated me well, and I think we all operate under the understanding that AFC is my home, and you know, they are Saturday night having their first light heavyweight title fight between Tim Schimelli and Razak El Hassan, and you know, obviously, that would be my goal. That's what I want to work towards. And I saw a picture of the belt online today, and ultimately, that's the piece of hardware I want.
Yeah, it's funny. That's where I was going, because I also saw the same thing. And we were actually earlier tonight were talking about the Schimelli fight, and you know, that was going to be my question. Was that your ultimate goal, to try to make the run through your contract and grab that title? But since obviously you're a free agent and you're going to stay there, that's the same answer you just gave. So I think it's great. I'd like to see you, you know, make a run for that belt. And it's a beautiful piece of hardware, folks.
Yeah, it looks good. I could definitely dream of having that one around my waist. And to tell you the truth, I'd mentioned to Darren my intention, obviously, and Schimelli has a loss to Penner. So if I could have pulled out the win on Penner, then obviously it could have potentially had title implications. So it's a little bit of a setback, but, you know, the goal's been put out there for me. So I'll definitely continue to pursue it for the rest of this year, that's for sure.
Hey, Nathan, you fought at Cage Warriors a couple months back. And you,
nope.
You busted the dude wide open. What?
No, he's only fought. Oh. Your last fight was April.
That's what
last
I thought.
Year.
Hold on, dude. I'm getting some bum information. Oh. Never mind. Now I'm getting the whole story.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's been almost a year. So, yeah, this will be my version 2.0.
What was tougher? Taking the injury or sitting out the year?
You know, sitting out the year was tough in a way, but, you know, I had business commitments, and I decided that I needed to really focus on improving. I wasn't overly pleased with not getting the finish in my last couple fights, you know, and I lost a split decision there in my first couple fights that I wasn't too pleased with the result. I thought I had that fight, and then it occurred to me that it's my fault. I'm the one who left it to the judges, and because I wasn't able to get the finish in my last two fights, I was getting pretty frustrated. So I wanted to improve to the point where I could confidently go in there and finish the fight, because ultimately that's what people want to see. They want to see guys finish fights, and, you know, every one of us fighters cries when we lose what we feel is a bad decision, but in the end it's our fault. So I needed to take care of that, and I feel that I've done that. So it was hard to not compete, but that being said, for me to put my best foot forward, I think it was necessary.
Okay, now I'm going to go back to this story. I'm going to go back. Oh, you better watch it. Okay, I'm going to go back to this story. Your training partner fought at Cage Warriors a few months back. One of your sparring partners, I guess, elbowed a dude and gave him one of the worst cuts somebody has ever seen.
Is this Miles at Zuma? He fought in Cage Warriors?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Miles, if you're talking about... Yeah, he fought that one at middleweight, I think. Yeah, yeah. If that's Miles Anstead they're talking about, then, yeah, the guy's an absolute beast. I think he's 2-0 pro now. And, yeah, he's got some of the best grappling I've seen in mixed martial arts. He's fantastic. And he's definitely going to be another guy you're hearing a lot about in the future.
Yeah, all I'm getting from this person is, scary dude, he's a bad motherfucker. Every time you said something, they were like, yes, 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 yes.
Right on. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, no, there's some bees coming out of Zuma, man. There's like I say, that Ryan James is a frightening human being, and they both have fights coming up in the next couple months, and both those guys are going to run through everybody until they get to a certain level, and maybe guys are going to be able to challenge them.
What's it like having a nice little pocket of guys like that to train with on a regular basis? I mean, when it comes to a fight, you got to have a pretty good feeling knowing like you're in there with some savages like on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? You want to fight the best guys day in and day out so that you're prepared to fight the best guys. That being said, it can be a pretty humbling experience when you get in a shark tank by guys like that. You get tired and it doesn't relent, and you get your ass kicked for an entire evening. It's definitely a bit taxing.
What are some things that you'd like? I mean, that's actually a really good point, that where it's very humbling. How do you like compartmentalize those shark tank nights where you're just like, you feel like you're totally on the wrong end of everything. And then you go home that night and you just like, you know, you just think about it. And
yeah, you know what? You just got to put it behind you, because you're right. It's super challenging. And some nights you feel pretty down about your abilities when you get your ass handed to you like that, or maybe your cardio and whatever can be definitely taxing. And that's where the coach comes in, because they'll just tell you that, you know, you put in the work and you get the results, and you should be always pushing your limits, and you should be always losing, really. And that's when you know you're ready, you know. I mean, you can walk into another gym from time to time and find that you do very well, and that can always be a nice confidence booster throughout the camp. But, I mean, really, in the end, you need to compete with the very, very best guys you can find. And as humbling as that can be, that's the right way to approach it.
Most of it. I think that's something. I'm hoping that for a lot of the younger fighters out there that they pay attention to that, because, I mean, I think that's, you know, where you're going to get to actually learn the most about yourself and figure out, you know, if this is really what you want to do.
Well, I know you're right. And I mean, the reality is when you get in that cage and you're fighting another guy who's basically just like you, you know, he wants to be there. He does this every day the same as you do, and he's going to take you into that deep water. And sometimes that's what decides a fight, you know. You're gassed out, you're beat up, and you got to dig deep over and over and over again. And like I say, sometimes that's the difference. And when you put yourself through that hell, then you can be confident at least that you won't stop. You know, the guy's going to have to take it from you. You're not going to give it to him. And sometimes you see fights where guys give it to their opponent. Like they quit, they mentally quit. Sometimes it's subtle, but you know that you're not going to do that when you put yourself through the right shark tanks and all that.
Well, Nathan, you know, we really appreciate you taking the time to still come on the show and hang out with us and talk about the fight, you know, and your camp and everything and the injury. you know, a lot of guys usually when they're not going to fight, they're like, hey, there's no point. So I really appreciate you taking the time tonight to come hang out with us. And before we run out of time, you got any shout-outs to the sponsors, gyms, any social media for fans, anything like that? Go for it.
Yeah, definitely, man. No, and thanks very much for having me, even despite the injury. Yeah, I'd love to shout out NeverTap. NeverTap Fight Gear has been sponsoring me now for a couple fights, and they're a huge help. Rainfall Contact Fight Gear, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, like we touched on before, because they make some badass mouth guards. You know, we've got some local guys who sponsor, and really anyone who contributes to any of the fighters kind of chasing our dreams. And of course, Zuma, Adam Zujic, and Bill Fraser Martial Arts here in my town.
Brother, how can they follow you on Twitter? It's Roadhouse Swayze, correct?
Yeah, it's at Roadhouse Swayze on Twitter, and there's a Nathan Roadhouse Swayze fan page on Facebook. And yeah, if they want to follow me, that's great. I appreciate it. I try and pass on all the stuff when we're backstage, and if I get a chance to corner the guys, I'll shoot some pics out there and try and put decent content on there from time to time.
Hey, hold on. Before you go. How is Dalton your favorite movie character of all time?
Dalton's the man. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You don't mess around in his pub.
No, dude. I mean, that's just like such a bad, like, ever since I've like found you, like, in a, you know, your name's Roadhouse Swayze, I'm just like, dude, that's badass. Dalton.
You know,
like,
the funny thing is we didn't even think of it. It was Robin Black gave me the nickname. So, yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, see, well, you followed the rules. You didn't give yourself a nickname because, you know, that's like the most douchey thing somebody can do is give himself a nickname.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Hey, Nathan, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on, brother, and keep grinding away, and we look forward to you bouncing back in that cage, brother.
Awesome. Thanks again for having me, man. We'll talk to you for the next fight.
Awesome.
Thanks, brother.
Dude, anytime you can get a Roadhouse movie reference in to the show, that's badass.
Dude, he's just a cool guy all the way around, man. Great mentality. I look forward to him getting back in the cage and making a run for that that 205 strap.
Yeah, dude, I mean, why not? Make the run, you know, run for the roses, or in this case, saunter for the strap.
And you know what? We're going to let the madman take over now.
He's taking over?
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Cosmic Holocaust. You can download them at tankcrimes.com along with many, 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 many other killer punk and metal bands. Shout out to the rest of our sponsors. Intimidation Clothing. Nevertap.ca. No Pain, Just Glory. Central Oregon Trike. Combat Sports Insurance. Vision Smoke Shop 24 and LV. Draco Sports. Pro Am Belts. Triumph Fitness. Big T's Nightclub. Crossroad of Clothing. Ink Hank Tattoo. Game Changer Clothing. Hype Fight Store. Flinch Custom Mouth Guard. And Brawl Base.
And I'd like
almost
to thank
all
Everhart's. I'd like to thank Everhart's Dairy for supplying the eggs and the sour cream on that kick-ass omelet I just ate.
Yeah, okay, now take out the still photo again.
Yeah, I ran up to the house real quick and grabbed some of it. My wife was making some omelets, man, some ham and mushroom and black olives, sour cream. Tore them down half of one real quick. So that was good.
Nice, buddy. Did
yeah.
you have your 3-year-old make that for you? In the microwave?
No, I had my wife. Now I just have to decide between snickerdoodles and brownies.
Oh, fuck. You're a motherfucker.
Man. So the first... I know you want to punch me. I can see it. The first power was kick-ass. Right now, Carl the Madman is trying to get Matt Riddle on the line for us. And then after that, we'll be kicking back with Luke from Intimidation Clothing. Oh. Hey, I will tell you what. I've said it. Everybody who listens to the show knows that we're huge fans of Legacy and what they've been doing over the last couple of years. And I'm really excited to see him sign a long-term contract. We'll give it a minute, Carl, and we'll try it again. I do know that he is right now in Las Vegas training. We're trying to catch him between the two sessions. So give it a couple minutes. We'll try it again. For everybody out there, he's going to be – we were told tonight he's going to be fighting on the May 31st card.
Yep.
Which has – and for anybody out there, man, you guys get out there and check out this card. It is literally got just a great, great, great lineup. I'm a big fan. I know a lot of people out there are and some aren't, but Junior Asensio is going to be fighting at Chris Percio. That's going to be a good fight. I also know that we were talking about some of the undercard earlier. There's some great up-and-comers that will be on there. That won't be, I believe, on the televised part, but D'Amico Page will be on, Hector Munoz, Chris Spencer, Rodrigo Lima, all those guys will be on the main card.
Jordan Nicole Gaza. We'll be on the prelims.
Jordan Nicole Gaza versus
the Ninja
Nancy
Princess.
Talbot. And don't forget, dude, Jimmy Flick, man, a hot little 125er is the co-main event on the May 31st card. Patrick Ibarra, dude. Patrick Ibarra is fighting on this card, dude. He trains with I think Paulina Granados. Dude, that kid had that sick-ass submission at the last Legacy FC. Remember that shit, Skippy? That thing was fucking dirty.
I do. That kid's a beast. You know, once again, Legacy's done something very few promotions out there have done, and that is run an amateur promotion that coincides with their pro promotion where they're working amateurs up through the ranks, and when they get ready, they're bringing them to Legacy, ready to make their pro debuts, and I like that concept. You know, it's like a farm club,
Ibarra versus Johnny Ray Rodriguez, dude. That might steal fight of the night at Legacy FC 20. That's my prediction on March. What's the damn date today? March 20th, 2013. I'm telling you people right now. Johnny Ray Rodriguez, Patrick Ibarra, fight of the night, Legacy FC 20.
I can agree with that.
I don't know. That whole upper card is stacked. I mean, Austin Cal versus Pissarro, Lima versus Flick, Navarez versus Spicer.
Dude,
man,
I think the Lima Flick card at 125 will be action packed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that brownie was so gooey. Yeah. There's,
why don't you now eat a snickerdoodle too? Is that a Derek Brune snickerdoodle?
No. This is a Clock Tower special.
Oh, Clock Tower special. Is that like the Bay A's you're going to make for the 5-0?
I'm not making the 5-0 donuts, man. I get away with a lot in a small town because I do, you know.
You do make them donuts?
No, I don't.
I think you should add donuts to the menu at the Clock Tower Pub.
Look, I already know that the chief has to sneak in here because his wife doesn't let him eat. He has to cut his fries in half. And when she comes with him, he gets a salad with shrimp, you know. So when he comes by himself or with his buddies from the force, he gets burgers. So I keep him happy, man. That way I can speed through town because I like to drive 30. And, you know, I don't have to worry.
I mean, that sounds fair enough, but I think you just outed him. Hopefully his wife's not at the Clock Tower Pub tonight listening to the show and hearing me talk about how the chief comes in when she's not around, chowing down on some burgers and fucking double the French fries to make up for the times when she's around and he's got to cut all the motherfuckers in half.
Hey, you know, she does work in radio, but she's like some technical stuff, so I doubt she's listening. Though she's got a crazy studio, man. On a cop's budget, I mean, makes me wonder.
Well, she probably just gets old equipment from the station.
She's got a kick-ass setup, man. Not that I would rob anybody, but if I was to, that would be the setup to rob.
You would go for her couch cushion.
I would steal the couch cushion. That would be the greatest from a cop's house. From the chief
and then
of police
frame
house.
It and hang it up. Hang it up in the Clock Tower Pub.
No, because then I'm going to jail for sure.
Dude, they wouldn't know you did it.
Oh, just yeah,
get,
they would.
Like, you know, get one of those little kids at the grocery store to deliver it to Clock Tower Pub and be like, hey, we found this. Would you
hang
like to hang
it
on
the
wall?
The bear and the moose?
Yeah. You know, you could, like, put it on the bear's paw. Like, as a glove. Like, an MMA glove out of the police chief's couch cushion. I mean, this sounds wonderful.
Sounds like I'm going to be spending a lot of time in jail, and you get a good laugh.
I'm sure that Jeff and Clint should be laughing good. I think Jason Ellis would get a good laugh out of it. They probably let you out for nights we have a show. I mean, you have a good relationship with them. Hell, they probably let you just do it from yourself.
How cool would that be if we could do a madhouse live from the county jail? I'm going to ask him.
Dude, I'm kind of liking that idea. We would have to use the payphones to, like, get the real effect.
No, dude, that's too expensive.
We'll just call Carl Kolak from the county
jail. There you go. Carl, you're
rich.
Carl's got a whole conglomerate behind him.
Dude, he owns a website, bro. Everybody that owns a website's rich.
He owns multiple websites.
Yeah,
he's super
dude,
rich.
He's got to be like Bill Gates Jr.
Dude, he's in the petrol business. Come on, you know he's loaded.
Yeah, owns websites and he's in the oil business. I mean, God, this guy, dude. He must be living life right.
Have you ever seen the view from his house? Dude, it's like a castle and you can see all the villagers below it. I mean, that's statistical. He had to have his house up high so he could look down on everyone because he's so rich.
I mean, dude, if you didn't know where Carl worked and what he owned, you would really wonder how he landed such a beautiful wife. But then you figure out that his bank account's got 3 commas in it, and then you know. You have the answer.
There you go. He is
three crumbs in it, did you say?
Come on, Carl. You can tell us the truth. Your uncle, Will Miner, when he did that train robbery... He left you all that money. And liver pills.
No problem.
God damn, liver pills.
And liver pills.
Put your hands up, cocksucker.
Cocksucker.
The first robber to ever say that was Carl's uncle. Oh, man. Well, folks, it looks like he might be training. We might not have Riddle on tonight, but we will get with him and reschedule to have him on another show if we don't get him in the next couple minutes. But right now, I have it's kind of fun talking to Carl tonight.
I think the people really needed the opportunity to get to know Carl the Madman Mortensen. And, that, you know, they're relishing in this right now.
you know, this is like a insider edition of UFC or whatever, but with Carl Mortensen. Behind the scenes, MMA Madhouse, Carl Mortensen. Boom.
There we go.
Carl, did you shoot whitetail on your parents' farm when you were growing up? Did you guys have big deer up there?
Or did you shoot brown tail?
Shot lots of gophers. yeah, they're running around everywhere, man, yeah.
So did you? Was that like part of your summer chores, was to go out and shoot gophers so that when your dad was walking the farm, he wouldn't roll his ankle in one of their holes?
No. Most of my summer chores involved about 500 pigs and, I don't know, a couple hundred cattle.
Did you ever shoot a deer in June? Because it's allowed in Texas.
No.
Oh.
Did you ever shoot a pig in June?
Probably. In the balls with a slingshot.
Nice.
I was out there like, feet.
Did you have the wrist rocket style of slingshot when you were growing up, or was it the old U-shape with the little handle?
What the hell did that thing have? You know, it had that wrist. It was pretty modern, man. You know, you could stick it in there. There's a wrist support on it. Fire away. Pigs ran and squealed like hell.
Dude, you know that I was in FFA in high school, and one of the things I remember from that about pigs is that they have a corkscrew penis that when they insert it into the female pig, helps them to keep traction so they can stay locked together.
I'm going to try to get our guest in queue.
Well, there goes my question by asking if you ever fed him blood and see the reaction.
I beat you to the good questions, dude.
You did, man.
Hey, you know, did you know before tonight that pigs had a corkscrew penis? No, you didn't. But now you do. You learned something today.
And here's something else you can learn. Intimidation Clothing to serve as the sponsor for XFO, I believe, 40 coming up at the end of the month in Chicago, folks.
Hey, look, man, these people that are listening, you got 45 minutes, man. 45 minutes left on 2-for-1 at GetClinch.com. Use the code word Wednesday Night Special. I guess that's code words, but Wednesday Night Special gets you 2-for-1 at Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Go to GetClinch.com, type in Wednesday Night Special.
And do not forget that every Wednesday we do Madhouse Wednesday at the Clock Tower Pub. We run MMA all day on the big screens, kick-ass beers, food specials. Not only that, on Thursdays you can come watch Bellator down there. They always have great shuffleboard, dartboard tournaments, fun things to do, get drunk. That's always fun in itself.
Order Russian dressing from Skippy. You know, I mean, there's a plethora of fun activities that you can participate in at the Clock Tower Pub.
Yes.
You can also write in the question and comments box that you would like to see Skippy make beignets for the police department and put fresh powdered sugar on them at the table. Kind of like a tableside experience for the police to enjoy.
Dude, I'm not
do you guys have any tableside dining? Do you guys do anything tableside at the Clock Tower Pub?
Like sometimes I dance for the older ladies because they have, you know, fat walls.
Because they're blind?
Because they think it's cute. They're like, oh, my God, look at this guy with all the tattoos. Oh, my God, look at him. Dance. And then they leave good money, so I will. What do they call them? The chicks who all wear the red hats. It's like some society of, like, women over 60, and they just seem to love me for some reason. They all order fish and chips, and then they, like, want to, like, flirt with me the whole time. And I'm like, this is horrible. The Red Hat Society.
The Cougar, the Redmond Cougar Club?
Pretty much. It's crazy, though. Them and, like, older Mexican women, like, above 50 seem to love me. I don't get it.
Yeah, because they sense that they sense the Hispanic background and child rearing that you experienced.
That could be it. Like, the other day at the grocery shop when I was working, the lady come in to sell some ollies. And the guy I work with, Justin, he's like, one of those. And I asked her real quick a couple questions, bought a dozen, and he was like, oh, these are the shit. He's He's like, how'd you know that? I'm like, dude, it's in my nature, man. I'm Hispanic. What can I say? I love tamales. What?
Oh, man, were they fresh in the corn, in the husk?
Yep. And she, dude,
wow.
Dude, this lady had blue. She had blue corn. I could pick between regular corn or blue corn. I went blue, and they were killer.
Yeah, dude, always go blue corn, man. You know? I laugh at
dude,
people that they want their tacos on a wheat flour tortilla. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. I mean, at least get a yellow corn tortilla, you freaking rejects.
You got to go with those little bolitas they make fresh.
I do have one beef though with Mexican restaurants in Oregon, man. No, none of these motherfuckers have queso dip, man.
Dude, me and my wife have talked about that for the last 7 years. We've asked Mexican restaurants, we're like, can we get some queso dip? And they're like, huh? You know, look, I know in the South, like every Mexican restaurant, when you get chips, they bring you that bowl, and then they bring you the salsa, and one's full of cheese, usually grounded up with a little bit of spicy sausage or hamburger meat, and the other is salsa. And usually, if you're lucky and you go to a good place, you get pickled jalapenos and carrots and onions. And that's
yeah.
when you know you're living it up at a real Mexican restaurant.
These Hispanic restaurants up here, man, they always start telling me, that's not authentic. I say, I don't give a shit. I don't care if it's
yeah.
authentic. I'm not in fucking Michoacan right now.
Yeah.
I'm in Oregon. I want some fucking queso dip, man. I want to order my taquito and put some motherfucking queso on it. All I want, man. I want to go to a Mexican restaurant. I want to get some shredded beef taquitos with some diced jalapeno on top and some queso cheese and some fucking salsa and guacamole, and I'm good to go, man. I don't need beans or rice or none of this bullshit.
What kills me is you can't even get, like, fresh queso de fresco at most of these places, you know?
No, nothing, bro. They take some Mexican shredded cheese, shove it underneath a fucking salamander, or, I mean, that's if you're lucky it goes in the salamander. Otherwise, it just sits in the hot window, and they, like, wait till the fucking plate's, like, 400 degrees and the cheese still hasn't fucking melted, and they bring it up to you. They're like, here, the gringo, the plate is hot. I'm like, yeah, no shit, the fucking cheese isn't melted, though. What the fuck?
Dude, my favorite thing that pisses me off the most is, like, I'll go over, like, hang out with some buddies, you know, we'll be partying it up, and, man, let's go get some Mexican food. And there's a place called the Great Taco Shop. They sponsor a lot of Budo, almost every Budo event, actually, they sponsor. Great food. I mean, you can get tongue there, you can get beef head, you can get all the real stuff, carnitas. Great homemade Mexican food. What do these people say? Let's go to Taco Bell, dude. That ain't Mexican food. When was the last time you saw an Enchirito when you were down in Ensenada or Tijuana? They don't sell Enchiritos at Taco El Primera at the cart on the corner, folks. You get a goat taco on a great tostada with some fresh lettuce, cilantro, and a little bit of pico. Man, that's how real Mexican food is. Taco Bell is not real Mexican food. Sorry.
No, dude.
I've never heard of a Cool Ranch taco.
See, this whole bullshit with the Doritos tacos is really frustrating me, dude. I can't stand it. I don't like cartel tacos to begin with. But, you know, if you're eating a taco, man, I want some carne asada or some shredded chicken or goat. I mean, anything like that. Cabra, I mean, dude. I remember the first time, man, when I was fighting fires, dude, I was on this mainly Hispanic crew. And we got back from a fire, and then they invited, you know, they, you know, the Mexicans, man, they party, man, they party heavy. So all I had to bring was a liter of my choice of tequila. So I went and grabbed a liter of Cazadores and rolled to this party. And then they had something in this deep fryer outside. And they wouldn't tell me what it was and then until I ate it. And then they told me I was eating goat, and the shit was fucking dank, bro.
Man, that's probably my all-time favorite meal is goat, man. Roasted goat on just a tostada shell with fresh lime and then some fresh pico. And I like queso de fresco. I'm a big junkie for that, the fresh crumbled cheese, the white cheese. And I'll throw some of that on there, man. You ain't joking. Man. Good for, you know, dude, the tripe tacos. People are like, try it, man.
I draw the line there.
Would you eat beef head tacos? Because they're killer beef head tacos.
I'm drawing the line at head. I'm not eating any tongue. I'm not eating any cheek. I've ate cheek before. Cheeks are not bad.
but it's still, I can't get past the whole idea of him eating your fucking cheek. Like, I have flashbacks of Hannibal Lecter all of a sudden.
Dude, have you ever had, you know, like, halibut cheek? That is the juiciest, buttery.
Yeah, I've ate most styles of cheeks, you know, as I used to cook, so I had to, you know. You have to taste test shit, or else you can't really know if you've got your seasoning right. You know, maybe heavy on the salt or you're light on the salt. You know, so you have to try things.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting down at a restaurant, cheek or tripe or none of that shit's going to be at the top of my fucking vocabulary.
Okay. Food aside, got a serious MMA question. Who do you pick?
Is this a fan question?
This is a fan question. Anybody can tweet at MMA Madhouse or at Lopati, LOPATI, or at STP Tattoo and answer. Who's going to win in 100 takedowns, Ben Askren or GSP?
I think it's awesome that Ben Askren is angling so hard for a grappling match with GSP to where today he's offering 3-1 odds to Dana White on $1,000 a takedown. That means every time GSP takes his ass down, that Dana makes 3 dimes. Dana's got to make up that money from Nick the Tooth, man, when Joe Lauzon tapped him out like 75 times in 3 minutes.
I tell you what, whoever's behind this with Ben Askren is a genius. And there's no other way to put it. This guy has put his name in the elite of the elite in conversation of MMA fighters out of nowhere. And with nothing to back it. Fans are already calling that fight the biggest UFC pay-per-view ever.
Not fans. Just Ben Askren saying that.
Ben Askren's fan. But a lot of people are out there want to see GSP shut him up, and a lot of people out there want to see Ben Askren beat GSP to prove he's better. So, dude, this guy has definitely stole the thunder from everybody in the UFC. You're not talking about Condit and Hendricks. You're not talking about GSP, Hendricks fight, Diaz. Everybody's talking about this Askren-GSP fight.
So, hold on. Let me ask you this, dude. Normally, Ben Askren lays on top of somebody, and normally GSP lays on top of somebody. So if they were both to fight, would they just alternate who was the big spoon and who was the little spoon and just lay on their side next to each other?
Well, I would have to be, truthfully, I would say that Ben Askren can beat GSP in a straight wrestling match, but in an MMA fight, I don't believe so.
No. I was just told that GSP and Ben Askren would lock together like mating dogs.
You'd have 15 minutes of spraying water on them trying to get them undone.
God. I'm getting some pictures in my mind right now that I really don't want to see. The fans have had some really great comments tonight, though. I mean, you know.
Yes.
They would lock together like mating dogs. I mean, that's classic right there. That's a good one. That might have to go on the Madhouse Wall of Fame.
Or mating pig.
So, I know everybody's overstepping Hendricks, but let's say Hendricks wins the title, you know, when that fight happens. And Ben Askren, then what? Is he just screwed? I mean, just at that point, would fans even care anymore to see that fight?
Oh, yeah, dude. Fans always care. I mean,
I just want GSP just one time in my life to take a K-1 fight so I can see what he really looks like with his hands.
See what he really looks like? You see a lot of Superman punches.
No shit.
Some fucking leg kicks. I don't know. I actually think that GSP, if it was a strictly kickboxing match, he might actually do pretty good considering his karate background.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, but like with Hendricks, obviously Hendricks is a great wrestler. He's going to have to, I think, keep the fight standing up, truthfully, to beat Hendricks. And I think he's going to need to do it with leg kicks, inside leg kicks, high kicks, you know, keep him back, slow him down.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be interesting. I think that I really don't see – okay, so I like Johnny Hendricks, but I can honestly tell you I really don't see him having a lot of success. It's just like – it's kind of like watching a Chris Gregory fight, but Chris Gregory doesn't throw the left hands. I mean, you know, Johnny goes left hand, double leg.
High crotch.
He doesn't even really try the high crotch much, dude. That's really just a Chris Gregory move. The high crotch is really Chris Gregory, Roy Nelson, those guys that don't really want to bend all the way over, but they can reach down far enough to grab you in the balls.
Okay, let me ask you this. GSP out of the situation, I know Rory's hurt, but how do you think Rory would fare against Hendricks?
I don't know, man. I think Johnny's wrestling might be... See, Rory would have a supreme striking advantage there, and at least, you know, in technique. I mean, Hendricks is always a live dog, dude. He's always a live dog. You don't have a fucking dynamite in that hand like that and not, you know, you're never out of a fight until you're actually out of it. I mean, you know, GSP's shown before that he can get the lights turned out. I just really think that Rory needs to finally make the jump to 185, start fighting up there. That's where he's going to be anyway, so quit piddle-fucking around at 170. Just jump up, finish putting your weight on, get rid of your back knee, and then make a run at the 185 strap.
But at 185, do you feel that he's a top threer?
Well, I don't think that right away he would be, but I think that he would definitely at least be in the top 10. I mean, the kid's talented. I mean, you can't take anything away from him. His Inspector Gadget looks when he fought BJ Penn just, there's no way I could ever root for Rory McDonald. I don't dig the hipster Inspector Gadget look.
Well, one of our fans tonight says he's definitely in the top 10, but not the top 3 at 185.
See, the fans agree with me.
Yeah, I'm just saying, so you know. So somebody out there loves you.
Hey, you know, besides my mama, that's good. That makes me feel good. I feel like, you know, if I was to die tonight, I could die a happy man now.
Well, I just want everyone to know that was Trent Standing telling you that, buddy.
Oh. Well, you know, that makes me feel even better. You know, I know that he's super leadership. I know that, dude, in Trent's house, there's a montage to Lopaki that he sits in front of every day and bows down to.
Well, let's get off your shrine and let's bring Luke in from Intimidation Clothing, because these guys are the shrine to local MMA, man. These guys support and sponsor fighters at every level across the country, day in and day out. These people are there for the fighters and for the events. Luke, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good.
Just relaxing, trying to have a good time with Skippy here, Luke. It's rough, but at times.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. We got a lot of big things going on right now, which I'm sure you're going to want to know more about, and we're going to tell everybody about. So, exciting times.
You guys are, like, literally picking up the ball for so many events and running with it. I mean, you guys are sponsoring events in, like, Chicago, Ohio, just all across the country, man. How crazy and how busy has it gotten for you this year already?
Well, it's been crazy and busy for the last 3 years, but it's just really, really ramped up here in the last, I'd say, month or two. And especially, I mean, the time of year, January, February, especially we're out here in the Midwest. You know, weather stinks. So, you know, I mean, I live in the snow belt up by Lake Erie. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where the events just aren't quite as active. But now as we get into, you know, the late part of March, I believe next weekend we have four different crews at four different events. and a fifth event that we're sponsoring that we don't have a crew at. This weekend we have three crews at three events, and I think it's like 10 events in the next 3 weekends that we're going to have a crew at selling our product. So we're getting to that point now where we're just ramping it up so incredibly fast that, you know, the hardest part is just keeping on top of everything, making sure that we always meet expectations, and that's, you know, that's my biggest goal, I guess, is to make sure we at least meet, if not exceed, expectations with every promoter, every fighter that we work with.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I got to ask you, how great is your staff? Because, I mean, some of the designs you guys put out are unreal, just so cool. I mean, how hard is that to keep those guys always pumping out new creative things that are just taking people by storm?
I think the funny part about that is those guys is, for the most part, one dude. My creative director, Chad, is he works a full-time gig. He drives, I think it's like 15 hours a week just to go to work and back, and does this on the side, which is utterly amazing to me. You know, he's one of the few people out there that can compare to my schedule in terms of the working, and I'm always promoting it. I'm always selling and promoting. One of the things we've been able to do in the last 6 months that we didn't have before was we didn't have a sales staff. It was all me before. Now we've got a few individuals helping sell our product. We've added a couple more crews. We're adding a new crew in Pittsburgh here for the April 6th weekend. We've got one in Detroit area. We've got one in the Indianapolis area. So, you know, we're just trying to expand everything from the designs to the staff to the sales team. You know, we just continue pushing forward. And, you know, I'm selling a dream, but the dream is becoming more and more of a reality every single day, and it's just an exciting time for me as well.
Well, I tell you what, I told Carl this, and it's funny I got you on the air now because your red and black intimidation, the board shorts, man, I need to get me a couple pair of those, slap the madhouse, and get them out there, a few of our fighters, man. I love that setup, the color pattern, and the way you have your logo down it. But hands down, I'm a fan of the brass knuckle shirt, buddy. That is just a great shirt.
We had a lot of success with the first one, and you know, it's funny because this is an industry where there's not a lot of originality, and we pride ourselves on originality, minus the brass knuckles side. The brass knuckles designs, they look like a lot of everybody else's shirts, but we just, especially the new one that we have out, the gray one with the black and white print, that's where we tried to just kind of jazz it up a little bit and make it look a little bit more original. And that's one of the biggest challenges that we come across is, you know, I remember when we started moving to the more simple designs at the beginning of 2011, we're like, man, we're going to be cutting edge. We're going to be the first ones doing these one-color designs. And literally I saw Clinch Gear doing the same thing and Dethrone doing the same thing a month later. And I'm sitting here like, man, were they in my head? What's going on? But it also shows, you know, while we're not always going to be the most original company out there, you know, especially when there's 57,000 competitors. Well, we may not always be the most original. We're always going to be one of the cutting-edge brands that's helping evolve the industry. And we may not get as much press as some of these other guys, but I can tell you we're working harder. And I think that's evident. I mean, I just actually half an hour ago got off the phone with a promoter in South Dakota. We're going to start working with the Fury Ultimate Cage Fighting events there. You know, we've got promoters from Minneapolis to Pittsburgh and down in through Kentucky. I think like six or seven different promotions in Ohio that we're working with. It's just really a neat time to be doing this because there are, you know, 15, 20 different promotions that we're working with on a regular basis, many times all in the same weekend, and helping them get their name out there, but also they're helping us get our name out there.
You know, with this growth of you obviously working with promoters, but you're also working with retail. I see you guys in more and more and more stores. How important is that aspect for your company to be in retail stores?
That's the key to everything. That's the reason I do everything else we do. We work with fighters. We work with promoters in an effort to build our brand so that we can support the retail locations, whether they be MMA gyms, whether they be stores in the mall. I got a couple of ball card shops. They're selling our stuff. urban apparel store in downtown or in kind of a interesting part of Cleveland. You know, we've got a lot of different demographics that we're hitting, and I think that's the cool part about our apparel. It hits the urban market. It hits the middle of the country, you know, redneck market. It hits a little bit of everything, and I feel comfortable saying the middle of the country redneck market because that's what I live in. You know, that's the situation that my family's in. So, you know, it's like we have a lot of different demographics that we can hit. We're starting to expand our women's line. We've got some really good relationships with awesome fighters like Brian Rogers and Jessica I. I know you've had Jessica on in the past. I don't know if this is public consumption yet, but I'll announce it right here. We are taking over Jessica's I Believe line, which we'll be handling all the distribution and the new designs for her now, too, and she's number one ranked in the world. You know, it's a great time for that as well. So, you know, I've said since day one, I don't really sell T-shirts. I build relationships. And while that might sound a little bit corny, at the end of the day, it's the truth. You know, I'm friends with these promoters. You know, some of them I'll even go out and have a beer with or hang out with. We get on the phone on a regular basis, the same with a lot of these fighters. So, you know, we're constantly pushing, getting the name out there so that then if that one store or retail location is going to sell our product, that our brand awareness is as strong as it can be so that they can have a better sell-through. And if they have a better sell-through, they're going to come back and spend more money. And it's just a great big cycle.
Luke, did you guys help with the creation of the I Believe line?
Not originally, no. Jessica came up with that through her and some of her contacts, and, of course, we were sponsoring her throughout the entire time. And, you know, they were selling some shirts at one of the events near us, and they were coming over, and they were selling her bracelets at our booth, and we were helping out. And it's like, we're selling her signature shirt anyway. You know, why not see what we can do to integrate some of this? And at the Arnold, actually, in Columbus, beginning of this month, Jessica was signing autographs to our booth, and she said something to me about it. And I said, Jess, that's a great idea. And, you know, we were also getting ready to sign her contract for 2013. And I said, well, why don't we start talking some numbers? So I talked to her agent a little bit. Everybody was happy. And you know what? It's not like I'm going to go step into the cage and expect that I'm a fantastic cage fighter off of being a T-shirt guy. Just like she's not going to go and try and be a T-shirt seller after being a cage fighter. You know, it's just not, you know, I don't go into an operating room and just expect I'm going to be a doctor with no training. You know, you learn things and you learn and you go through certain things that help you understand what it is you're doing. And, you know, when a fighter can unload all of that but still make significant money and they give it to somebody who's, I don't want to say an expert, but already experienced in that field, then it's a smart move for all parties because now they're not going to go for the pitfalls. They're not going to, you know, stumble over certain things that I've already learned from, you know, years ago.
Yeah, no, that's great. Now, I mean, you guys sponsor so many people. How do you build all of those relationships, or do you have people that cover certain regions?
I work a lot of hours. I don't really know how to describe it. Actually, I had a funny call today. I had a fighter who was shouting out to us saying thanks for the sponsorship, and I knew nothing about it. And I happened to be talking to one of his buddies, and I knew nothing about it. And actually, there was a cross-up somewhere. The agent said he talked to someone in intimidation. And, you know, while we do a good job of looking like we're a really big brand, it's pretty much me and a couple of part-timers and a couple of sales staff members who are, you know, on the side doing this. And it's mostly all a guy who's not afraid to work 80, 90, 100 hours a week. This is my hobby. This is my job. This is my passion. I'm very fortunate that I have an incredibly understanding wife, and I'm able to balance the life-work thing pretty nicely. But, you know, I work my tail off every single day and do a lot of extra stuff. And, I mean, I do interviews at 11 p.m. Eastern time, and I don't have any problem with that. It's all kind of living the dream and following through with what we want to do. So, you know, 99% of the time it's going to be me doing fostering the relationship in one way or another and building it.
Now, I noticed when I was looking through the shirts that you have a Cleveland Brown shirt, but I'm not seeing any Cincinnati Bengals-looking stuff.
We have a phenomenal reputation and exposure in Cleveland, and in Cincinnati we have one dealer. And in Cleveland, I think I have like 15 dealers north of Columbus and one south of Columbus. So it was kind of one of those deals where we went with where our dealer base was. We did a Pittsburgh shirt because we had three dealers in Western PA, and that's about ready to double the number of dealers out in Western PA. And then over in Cleveland area, of course, you know, Cleveland, Akron, Canton, I think we have five or six dealers in that area. And then east of Cleveland here in the sticks where I live, we have four or five more dealers out this way. So it was all based on, you know, it was kind of an easy sell. Now, in terms of the Bengals, they've been on our radar, you know, something that kind of mimics the Bengals look, of course, without any copyright infringement. But, you know, we've also been looking at the Colts and the Bears and the Lions. So, you know, just those different cities. I could see us doing a Chicago. I could see us doing a Detroit, a Cincinnati, and Indianapolis over time. You know, I probably just gave away the secret sauce. Someone will beat us to it, but ours will be better when we do it anyway.
Well, Skippy likes the – hold on, man. I'm not done talking to Luke right now. Skippy, just hold your turn. I didn't give you the signal. Now, see, while Skippy likes the brass knuckle shirt, I like the Irish-themed shamrock shirt with the skull on the front.
That's good.
Because
good
on the where you have the Irish flag at, it actually looks like the Miami Hurricanes U on the guy's forehead.
Yeah, it kind of does. I hadn't even thought about that. That's true. It kind of does look like the U. I hadn't realized that side, but yeah, definitely it has the colors and everything else. So, yeah, that shirt, we took that, we debuted that shirt the weekend of the Arnold, and I don't know how much your fan base and you guys are actually familiar with the Arnold Sports Festival out in Columbus every year. It's 175,000 people in 3 days. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's not MMA fans. It's bodybuilding and supplements and people like freebies. And what we were able to do is we had a nice little 10-foot booth, and that was one of the shirts on display. That was the biggest seller of the bunch, and we put that out there because, you know, we knew St. Patrick's Day was coming up, and we knew that was going to go well. So we sold a ton of those shirts at the event.
As soon as I saw it, I was going to tell the Bucky, I got to buy one of those for our buddy Javier. He is a shamrock junkie, so I'm going to have to get him one of those. But
not that one. I'm getting that one.
Hey, for all the fans in Texas, you guys, start buying all the intimidation because I want to see some longhorn-colored stuff.
There you go. I like it.
You know, so come on, Texas, step up. Start buying a lot more so we can see some Oilers colors too.
I would love to see Texas step up because we have almost nothing going on in Texas, so... You know, and the thing is, like, what a lot of companies do is they go and they take their money and they spend their wad on the UFC, $100,000 a year or whatever the rumor is that it costs these days to sponsor fighters. And, you know, that's great if you got deep pockets. We don't have that. We have very smart people who work really hard. So, and that doesn't mean others don't, but, you know, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, so I'm going to be working every single day until I can, you know, make sure that my family doesn't have to worry about money. So I'm working my tail off and making sure that I take care of all those that help us get there and take care of a lot of fighters and promoters that are helping us get there. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that we've taken the regional approach, which is completely different than everyone else. And it's a lot harder, but I feel like it's going to be more rewarding. And right now we don't have a whole lot going on in the southern part of the United States. It's pretty much Kentucky on up, you know, Minneapolis to Pittsburgh area as well. But now we're doing some South Dakota stuff. But we also have a new dealer coming in Charleston, South Carolina. We're going to start doing some stuff down in South Carolina and Georgia. So, well, that's not Texas. We're working our way south, and we're working our way west, and, of course, eventually from Ohio, Texas is southwest, so we'll get there eventually.
Well, you know, we talked about it. You definitely are a huge supporter of local MMA throughout the United States. You know, there's fighters that you sponsor and fighters that you help out at every level. And you guys have a kids line and, you know, kids MMA is growing and all that. How much of a chance do you get out and actually enjoy watching events? Because obviously you're working all the time. Do you get to catch any local BJJ events, or do you just get to go to an MMA event and enjoy it, or do you have to work them all the time?
That is a fantastic question. I love it. I'm glad you asked that one. When we started this, it was always me at events. And one of the things that I came to realize, one of my very good clients on my other business, my internet marketing business, had said to me that I have to let go and I have to delegate. And we sat down, we talked about it in one of our meetings, and we were talking about that. And we used to be connected on the MMA side too, but now we're just working on some other projects together. And he mentioned that to me, and that was a big thing. So what I started doing probably about August of last year was, I need to start trusting others to be able to do certain things. So what I now do is I very, very rarely go to events and sell them on the company's behalf. So in February, I went to one event in Columbus, Ohio. In March, I went to the Arnold in Columbus. And those are the only two events this year. And I think the only event since November of last year that I've gone to and did the actual sales on behalf of the company at an event. And the main thing is, you know, it takes 8-10 hours of your day on a Saturday, and that's time not spent with the family, and that's time not working on marketing the brand. And when I'm the main guy for marketing and sales and handling the customer service and doing everything else that I do, I need every hour I can get. I need every minute I can get. So what I decided was, I'm going to pay people to do this. I'm going to make sure that I have a good staff that's competent, knows what they're doing, can travel and do everything else. And now I get to, every once in a while, I get to enjoy them. So really, since August, I've been to a few different events. The NWFS event last December was one of the ones. March 30th, next weekend, I will be at the NWFS event in Canton, Ohio. And I'm going to be able to just sit back, and I'm going to watch the fights, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I look forward to those kind of moments, because the last one I was at was probably the best fight I've ever seen in my life, between Isaiah Chapman and Dustin Kemp. And Chapman's a bantamweight that you guys will be hearing a lot about on the national scene here real soon, 4-0 right now, and fighting again next week. And a phenomenal fighter that we have under contract, and a new signature shirt coming out for us. So, yeah, we're getting to that point. I'm finally able to enjoy some fights, and it's nice. You know, there's certain promotions that I'm a little bit more likely to go to because I know they're the AAA baseball of MMA. You know, I'm going to be more likely to go to their events simply because of the fact that I know how high-end their events are.
And you're absolutely right about Isaiah Chapman, dude. That kid is a killer. He is a killer.
Yeah. If you ever want to get him on for an interview, just let me know. I'll make it happen.
Oh, dude, we would love that opportunity. And I've been watching him for about a year now, and, dude, that kid is a savage.
Did you guys see the video of the fight with Kemp?
I have not.
I'm pretty sure that was posted on Tapology, but I can't remember it right now, because that was back December?
It was December 15th. Yeah, I sat cage side. You can actually see me in the video. My wife and I are there, and you can see my face. I'm, like, gawking at after his little barrage up against the cage. He was hitting him like a speed bag. It was awesome. But what I will do is I'll find a link to it, or if not, I'll get a link to it, and I'll send it to you guys so you can see it.
What about possibly, you know, next week we're going to do a one-hour intimidation Tuesday night show. What about maybe getting him on that show?
I think that'd be great. I think that'd be perfect. Isaiah is a real quiet kid, real humble, soft-spoken individual. So, you know, I'll talk to him and let you know. That way you know he's not a real boisterous personality or anything like that. He'd be a good fit for sitting here while we're doing the interview and having him on. As long as his work schedule works out, you know, he's one of those guys, like a lot of the fighters, like probably 95% of the fighters I know, is, you know, he has to work a job, you know. He's a pro fighter, but this stuff doesn't pay the bills. And I think that's what the fans miss out on a lot of times, is these guys go to work and they work 40-hour weeks, and they deal with girlfriends, and they deal with wives, and they deal with kids, and they deal with life. And then they have to go into a cage and they have to fight. And, you know, they have their own struggles in life, just like all of us do. The thing is, I don't go get my brains punched in every single night training for a fight and then have to do so in front of 1,000 people on TV. So, you know, I'm fortunate. My life isn't a big public soap opera like that. And, you know, I give Isaiah and everybody else out there that has to work a full-time job and do this, on the side, you know, all the credit in the world. They're all chasing a dream. Isaiah's one of the guys who's going to realize that dream one of these days, and I think he'd be a great guy to have on.
Hey, you know, talking about Isaiah and other fighters and gyms that you work with, on your website, you have a site, Custom Gyms. Can any gym out there call you up and get shirts made for their fighters?
Anybody who is willing to meet our minimum requirements is more than willing to. And we're not, you know, we can't do 12 shirts for somebody. I mean, it just isn't when we're going to put Chad's time on the line or even a freelancer's time on the line and I have to pay them, it just doesn't economically work out that it makes sense for anyone. But if a gym's serious and they're bigger and they're looking for, you know, a bigger size order, you know, they have a little bit of a budget for something that's going to be pretty awesome. I'm more than willing to work that out with them. And yeah, we have the Griffin Rawl shirt on there. We have two Strong Style shirts on there. There's the Wright's Gym design, which Wright's Gym doesn't even do a whole lot of MMA. It just happened to be worked out that that they got on board with us through one of our MMA contacts, and it's been phenomenal. They're probably one of our top five dealers now in terms of volume of sales, thanks to the custom shirt, which actually had a custom. There was a thermal in the exact same designer that went over really well. I actually didn't even post it on the website, but that one came out great. We actually decided to mimic that design on a new shirt for ourselves with our new Shield logo tees. But, yeah, they've had a lot of success, and it's just a workout gym. It's a Krav Maga and workout and, you know, gym. And what it is it's the demographic we're targeting. It's those young males that are coming in the door. They don't really want to pay $75 for an affliction tee, and they see this $25 tee hanging there, and it's like, dude, I can afford that. Boom, I'll throw that in with my $30 for the month, you know, subscription. And, you know, and they've had great sell-through of intimidation products there.
Well, that Pride Gym shirt is ridiculously pimp with the old school boxers and Strong Style Gyms with the the Pain and Pride on it. That is a clean shirt. Your designer did a great job with that one. I like that one a lot.
I appreciate that. That goes kind of in hand with what I said earlier was we try and meet – we always want to set expectations and meet those expectations at the very minimum, but try and exceed them as much as we can. And Marcus from Strong Style, who trains Brian Rogers and Jessica I and Nick Duell, John Hawk and Stipe Miocic and all those guys, and he sat down with me and Chad, and he said, here's kind of what I'm envisioning. Can you put something together? And that was actually the two fighters on there, one fighter's name I won't mention, but the who used to train there, but the other was Brian Rogers before when he actually had his dreadlocks. And what Chad did was he gave him a haircut. Well, the funny part is now Brian got a haircut on his own after the Shlemenko fight because Shlemenko grabbed his hair and used that in the tie club. So, so it's kind of funny. We gave Brian a little bit of a haircut there for the shirt. So he's, I think, on the right side of that shirt, if I'm not mistaken. But that was one of those shirts that we really just exceeded our customers' expectations. And, you know, they've rewarded us quite nicely in terms of, I'd say, Strong Style's probably our number one volume dealer overall. And they don't even carry our normal line. They carry shorts. They color custom beanies, custom shirts, and the fighter's signature shirt. So that combination of all those things has been very, very successful for us.
Luke, can you touch on the school pride thing that you guys do as well?
Yeah, this is kind of one that we've put a little bit on the back burner. It's all about contacts. And what we were looking to do is especially up here where we live in a little rural corner of Ohio is I guess, because it's not like it's going away or anything, but it's basically to work with a couple of the local schools and give them a different kind of fundraiser. What I found from having a wife who teaches and a whole family of teachers, the shirts they bring home are the same old worn-out generic designs that you get out of a catalog and you plug in Falcons or Lakers or Warriors or Redskins or Indians or whatever, Cardinals, and it's the exact same design, just plug it in on this nice little template, and that's the shirt you're getting. And we make custom stuff. Now, custom stuff costs more. It's a lot harder to duplicate. It's a lot harder to make it work and make it work well. But what we decided to do was let's come up with a cool design that high school kids are actually going to like and want to buy. So because, again, it's that demographic. I mean, yeah, we're hitting 18 to 35-year-olds or 18 to 40-year-olds. But, you know, at the same time, high school and college kids really like our stuff. So what we did was we did a custom shirt for the Jefferson Falcons, which is a small school about 10 miles from where we live. And we also did one for Edgewood Warriors, which had some nice connections inside their athletic boosters. We're working on one for the school in which my family members, several family members work at. And, you know, any school across the nation that wants to do this as a fundraiser for their athletic boosters or a wrestling program or anything like that, I'm more than willing to you know, talk to them and see if we can come to it. It's just like the custom gym apparel. If you can meet our minimum requirements, which are very reasonable, we can definitely work something out with you and come up with a really awesome design that isn't going to look like every other shirt that's out there for the school itself.
Yeah, well, the ones you did are definitely pretty sweet. And, you know, Luke,
well, I just like that you guys aren't just local MMA, you're local everything. I mean, even as far as, like, your own local community trying to give back and work with, you know, even people not in the MMA business.
Well, that's the big thing. And while we are, you know, I mean, I know this is an MMA program and that everything we do from a marketing standpoint seems to be MMA. The big thing we're trying to emphasize this year is we're a lifestyle brand that happens to be huge supporters of MMA. And, you know, you'll notice from day one, Intimidation Clothing is our name. Not Intimidation Fight Gear, Intimidation Fight Wear. It's such a worn-out phrase to put at the end of a bunch of different, you know, add your name in here, generic fight gear. You know, there's so many different companies with that, and you know, I give all the praise in the world to some of the originals and the ones that are doing really well, and, you know, companies like Dom Fight Gear and others like that, I always see they do a good job. They seem to have good reputations. I give them all the credit in the world, but it seems like they have 57,000 imitators out there. You know, there's a lot of companies out there trying to imitate even what we do. It is what it is, but what we're trying to do is be a lifestyle brand that happens to be the best supporter of local MMA in the Midwest. And eventually that's going to be the biggest supporter of local MMA on the East Coast and then the Southeast and the Southwest and in the Northwest, and we're going to get there to that point. But right now our main presence is the Midwest, and that's what we're going to continue to build off of.
Well, Luke, for everybody out there, before we run out of live air, give everybody all the information to find you guys from coast to coast, from country to country.
Well, you can always Google Intimidation Clothing. You're going to find us every single time because we're number one for our name, and we should be. I think we own about the first 15 or so search rankings because that's my other gig. So we always do well there. On Twitter, at IntimidationMMA. Online, IntimidationClothing.com or IntimidationMMA.com. One will get you to the other. We use one for promotional stuff with the other. Intimidation Clothing is for actual transactions in our e-commerce store. And then on Facebook, facebook.com/intimidation. We, you know, social media is a major, major piece to all this, and we didn't even touch on that today. So hopefully we'll touch on that a little bit next week. And I just thank everybody for their support, whether you're a Facebook fan that's never bought a product or you're one of our loyals that's bought 15 or 20 products. You know, I appreciate everybody that's out there. And I, you know, I hope to win everyone's business at some point or another. I know that we're doing everything we can to do it the right way. And, you know, I just appreciate, you know, guys like you guys who are supporting local MMA and making sure to tell others to do that as well.
Luke, we look forward to next week. Hey, we wish you the best this weekend, and definitely let us know who we're going to get to hang out with next week. And you know us, we'll continue supporting you. And everybody get out there, check them out, Intimidation Clothing, man. They literally, great stuff, man. Board shorts, hoodies, kids' clothes, women's. Go check them out, folks.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem. Hey, we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks, Luke.
No problem. Thank you.
Carl, pay some bills.
Guess I should turn on my mic first. Pay some bills. Of course, IntimidationClothing.com. Tank Crimes, Never Tap, No Pain, Just Glory, Central Oregon Trike, Combat Sports Insurance, Vision Smoke Shop, 24NLV, Draco Sports, Pro-Am Belts, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Crossroader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer, Hype Fight Store, Brawl Base, and Clench Custom Mouth Guards.
Ink Tank Tattoo!
Did I miss
the Wednesday night special? Is now over. The Wednesday night special is now over.
Hey, I tell you what, Luke legitimately had some pimp stuff on that side. Carl, the red and black shorts, I think I'm going to buy a couple pair for some of the fighters that we sponsor and have our logo thrown on them. Because those were clean.
Yeah, nice. He's, you know, got to be one of the hardest working outfits in North America. If, you know, Intimidation is incredible what they're pulling off down there. And so glad
you know
we've been teamed up with them for so long now. Intimidation was one of our first sponsors.
That's why they go on every shirt and hoodie when I do the sponsor call down the back, they're always top and first. And actually, the new shirts coming out that I'm picking up this week, they'll be on the front with Clinch and the Madhouse logo. So
the two top companies right there.
Boom. Yep.
Booyah.
Well, a couple of the fighters who ordered the shirts asked if we could put the Intimidation on the front. And I was like, why not?
Right on.
Yeah.
See, you know, I'm really disappointed that nobody took advantage of the fucking Wednesday night special, man.
Watch, he's going to get blown up on downloads. He's going to be like, dude, it's Friday. What are these people doing?
Yeah, that's they'll about be like, it. They'll be trying to do Friday night special. But we'll be doing the Rogue Show. The special will be completely different. They won't even know. They could be doing like buy 1, buy 3, get 1 at that point.
Yep. Well, and I know you're listening, Jeff. You know you always go on the front from day one, brother. You know that.
Yeah.
Dude,
so, Carl, what's on your agenda tonight, buddy? Are you going to go out and run a few miles?
He's going to kill a moose.
Well, he has all that practice killing gophers in northern Alberta. So, I mean,
southern
moose has got to be just, you know, second fiddle to him. You know, he's like moose, schmoose. He's like, bring me a caribou or a polar bear. Shut the fuck up.
I'll take moose any day over anything.
Even over caribou, Carl?
Oh, big time, yeah, God. Not even a comparison, man.
I'm going to have to angle my way into trying some moose out.
Oh, man, you got to. If you can get a hold of a moose filet steak, you do it.
I will try to find some moose backstrap.
It's tough to find. It's tough to find. Most people don't give it up very easily.
How much moose is in your freezer right now, Carl?
None. Unfortunately.
Carl shoots a 1,300-pound moose and has food for a week.
Well,
Carl, when was the last time you ate moose?
Have you ate pussy more frequently than you ate moose?
Since my oldest brother passed away, who was the real hunter in my family, not nearly as often as I used to. So it's probably been probably a year.
Dude, if you can get me into Canada, I will come kill you a moose just so I can eat what you cook it, however you cook it.
Doesn't matter how you cook it. Eat it raw.
That's what I'm talking about, Carl. I'll bring my bow up, man. I'll go out moose hunting for a couple days. I'm sure you'll let me borrow the Madhouse snowmobile. I'll show back up. I'll have a moose quartered out, and you can just throw it on the old Barbie. I mean, do you guys use a barbecue or do you use a smoker? Or?
Sure, whatever you want.
Oh, hey, yeah, everybody out there.
We're not that Neanderthal.
Trent Standing's looking for a Pro Win 55er for April 13th. Isn't that event, Prime Fights or whatever?
No, man. Prime Fights is Brad Pohl, bro, not Trent Standing.
What's that one he's been promoting then?
Fama 7, but that's next weekend. I thought
no,
March 30th.
No, the other card. There's a second card he's promoting now that he's matchmaking on.
Some more can crushing.
Prime Fighting, April 13th, Pro-Am shoot at the Clark County Fairgrounds. All pro slots are filled. Please don't ask me again. I need a 155er pro. What the fuck is that?
I don't know, dude. I can't. I drew the line in the sand with some people.
Yep.
My life has been much more peaceful. Hey, though, everybody, Mikey Ruckus' new album dropped today. I should have said that during the live fucking segment.
Dude,
damn it.
Dude, that rooster cover is straight up sick as shit, man. Best cover I've ever heard of it, ever. And I'm a huge fan of that band. I go old school back in the day. You know what kind of habit I had. I love that band. That band was the best ever, man.
AID? Or AIC? What's the other AID?
I bet Carl listened to a lot of Alice in Chains as a young whippersnapper.
No, I'm older than you guys. It was all Metallica and Slayer for me. Suicidal Tendencies.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
So, Carl,
did you think that Metallica really dropped off the ball with the Black Album? That's when I had to stop listening.
Oh, yes. Big time, yeah. They didn't put anything good out after.
And then they tried to bring in Trujillo from Infectious Grooves, and that didn't do anything.
Yeah, and he's also suicidal. Just from Infectious.
You're right.
Original.
And everybody out there who don't know the great Mike Muir, all I wanted was a Pepsi. I'm far from suicidal. I love to do. Mom, I'm not on drugs. I just want a Pepsi, Mom. Nothing's wrong with me. I went to your schools. I followed your way. I love that.
I saw your mommy and your mommy's dead. We'll play some ST for our Tank Crimes break next week.
Nice. I like it. Finally, we're getting into some music I can get down with. There was nothing like when I was in high school, man, we would go and put on like old school Metallica or Suicidal Tendencies in the batting cages during winter practice when we weren't supposed to be practicing. Rules breakers. My high school, we were rules breakers.
Yep. Let's see. Why does it say it's unavailable? This video has either been removed or is not visible due to privacy. Oh, okay.
From who? Is that from Luke?
No, that's what we talked about earlier with you helping my buddy down south.
Oh, yeah. So tell him to let me know. I'm going to the bar tonight.
Okay. Everybody, Carl, it's great to have you back hanging with us. For everybody out there, that is the madman himself. He Molson Ices it with a pistol in one hand on a snowmobile and a moose carcass in the other. He's a true warrior.
He is. I think he graduated to Kokanee.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I'm going to tweet out a picture of our snowmobile. You're going to just wait and see the snowmobile.
It's got leopard print, dude. It's baller, dude. And
I know, dude. I've seen it. It's badass. That's why I want to take it out moose hunting when I'm up in Canada, man. I mean, I figure I couldn't control a whole like herd of mushing dogs. That really isn't my style. But a snowmobile, that is my style.
Dude,
this one's a beauty.
I mean, does it go like 30 miles an hour at least, Carl? I mean, it goes fast enough to kill me, right?
Oh yeah.
I just need that hint of danger in my life.
Okay, here it comes.
And then we can invite Matthew Gaither up, and I'll chase him around while he's running around on snowshoes, and I'm on the snowmobile with my bow taking shots at him. Carl, my God, what's the sound of this?
Let's film it.
Carl, you ever shot a bear?
Dance, boy.
Dance, crossbow.
I said dance, son. It could be like one of those old foghorn leghorn cartoons. I said dance, boy. I said dance. I'm just a chicken heart cutting for a chicken.
Actually, he wouldn't say dance. He'd say put your hands up, cocksucker.
Okay, there it goes. I just tagged you guys in that tweet. There you go. You can see the sweat.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, did you guys? Oh, we didn't tag Jeff. We got to tag him. Hold on. I'm going to tag him right now.
Oops.
Oh, that is art. That is straight up art, buddy. Okay, we just tagged Clinch, dude. Check your Twitter, buddy. That is player. Dude, who goes with purple diamond? Or no, purple, what is that, honeycomb weave stitching with leopard print? Carl, I'm sending you some stickers right now. I've got a shelf full of Madhouse stickers. You need some on that. How many do you need? Four? Two on each side in the front, two in the back?
See what we can do.
Carl, I'm sending you some, buddy. The Madman.
Dude, you
got to
get leopard print ones, though, bro. You got to have a special run.
I will talk to the printer. I got to go pick up. I ordered you actually some extra orange and black just so you could give some away over there. So I got to pick those up tomorrow. because I figured there's no point in sending you just two. That'd be stupid. I'm going to send you like 6 or 8 or 10. That way you can give some away over there that are black and orange, you know, to the, you know, OSU fans. But I'll talk to him and see what he can do about making me some leopard print ones for Carl's thing.
Dude, I see, the thing I like about the snowmobile is I like the upholstery job on the seat.
Oh, it's beautiful. A honeycomb stitched pattern. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Honeycomb leopard print, dude. I mean, and it's got a fucking windshield, bro.
Dude, that's what I was thinking. The sticker right there across the front bottom of the windshield, one of the big ones, and then the chrome back rails where you grab on with your hand. You could stick another set there. Oh, yeah.
Probably
dude,
even
Carl,
one on
gonna...
the back, dude. We need like
Carl.
A three. We need Carl the Tout walking around the Madhouse snowmobile.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's the tout waiting to happen, Carl. You've been kind of, you know, you've not really been doing a lot of the touting.
I haven't, actually. No, I did one a little while ago for, what the hell was it? I don't even remember. Oh, the, well, I shouldn't even say it. You're just going to get upset. The BlackBerry app.
Hurts my feelings.
Hey, that BlackBerry, a guy I know has the BlackBerry 10, and I was playing with it. It is a pretty sweet phone, man, I got to say. I was really impressed. I was never really a BlackBerry fan, and then Skippy got me this playbook, and I love it. Well, that BlackBerry 10 phone is sick, man. It is killer. I think that's where I'm going after this iPhone. I really
See,
like
this,
it.
This
is really, really nice.
This really tells the story of our relationships with Skippy. Skippy buys you a BlackBerry tablet. Skippy,
Skippy steals and hides
the Reese's peanut butter cups his wonderful wife made for me so that he can keep them. And then tells me about it when he knows that I'm already at home 3 hours away and I can't come and just pick them up.
Okay, let's be clear. Madhouse as a group for Christmas, the team members bought Carl this gift with money that was made profit-wise from selling T-shirts, okay? So it was a conglomerate of all its employees as a Christmas gift to the president of the company and my partner. So it was from everybody.
So you're saying that you just isolate me out with shitty treatment and everybody else just gets high fives and fucking Nutella peanut butter fucking bacon waffles.
Okay, I'm sorry, Lefosky, that you feel that way, but you know what? We got some breaking news. Breaking news. I'm going to buy Lefosky a 72 Pinto station wagon with a porthole to show my love and respect for all he does for this. He will be rocking the Madhouse Pinto in the next 6 months.
Dude, can you put a glory hole in it, too?
Well, that's what the porthole is for.
That's
okay,
good. That's good, man. Because you know, I really want to find a glory hole. Check one out one day. I wonder if Jeff. Do you think that Jeff from Texas Mouth Guard would ever?
You're going to jail, buddy. You're going to jail. You shouldn't have said that. They heard you.
I'm
oh
doomed.
Wow. See, Carl, aren't you sad you missed Wednesday?
Yeah, man, it was tough. I'm glad to be back. I'll be with you guys next Tuesday and next Wednesday. 99% sure, unless something melts down.
Oh, well, I guess on that note, we can all get out of here. I'll shoot
right.
you with hockey. You're dead.
Hey.
Okay, Carl. Wrap it up, buddy.
Hey, Brody, are you in the studio? Brody? Brody.
Don't even get my son over here punching me or something.
Brody.
I'll get you a new Xbox game.
Right underneath the fourth rib cage. Right underneath the fourth rib. Just punch your dad as hard as you can.
Eagle.
Later, Carl. 2 weeks in a row, buddy.
Have a good one, boys.
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.
Carl.
Yeah, what?
That's how it's.
Well, time to disperse. Party's over.